While 11% of American children now carry an ADHD diagnosis, and millions take daily medication, a provocative question emerges. What if ADHD isn't a disorder at all? JetBlue founder David Neeleman wouldn't trade his ADHD for anything. It enables him to distill complicated facts and come up with simple solutions. Olympic champion Michael Phelps thrived after ditching his meds. Virgin's Richard Branson credits his restless mind for building an empire. Throughout history, the explorer gene, associated with ADHD, drove fearless individuals to discover new lands during crises while others stayed safely home. Scientists have identified the 7R variant of the dopamine transporter gene linked with novelty-seeking, hyperactivity, and risk-taking. Populations with long migratory histories show higher prevalence of this gene, suggesting ADHD-associated traits were evolutionarily advantageous, particularly in prehistoric hunter-gatherer societies where vigilance and adaptability meant survival. While not everyone with this gene has ADHD, its persistence in 20% of the population suggests evolutionary value. In our rapidly changing world, perhaps the ADHD mind, with its creativity, resilience, and ability to thrive in chaos, is exactly what we need. The real question isn't how to fix ADHD, but how to harness it. In the 1970s, Ty Pennington was the problem child, climbing out windows and swinging from blinds, given antihistamines to stay dozy. An ADHD diagnosis later explained his struggles. Then extreme home makeover arrived, demanding every trait his ADHD brain possessed: multitasking, risk-taking, boundless energy, and calm amid chaos. The 7-day deadlines provided the pressure that stimulated his brain. ADHD involves brain chemistry affecting dopamine receptors. Those high on the spectrum experience a rush from situations that cause others anxiety: deadline pressure, risk, chaos. The official symptoms can be reframed. Difficulty focusing becomes hyperfocusability. Disorganization becomes creative thinking. Impulsivity becomes calculated risk-taking. Entertainment lawyer Perry Sanders captures it. "People may not understand how my brain functions and view it as a problem, but it works well for me." Successful ADHDers excel by embracing their traits rather than viewing them as flaws. If Huckleberry Finn lived today, his fidgety wanderlust would earn him an ADHD diagnosis and a prescription. ADHD didn't exist as a diagnosis until 1980. Since then, medicated children exploded from 600,000 in 1990 to 3.5 million today, including over 10,000 toddlers aged 2 to 3 on Medicaid and 1,422 infants under 1 year old. The strongest predictor for ADHD diagnosis? Being the youngest in class. Approximately 1.1 million children received inappropriate diagnoses, with over 800,000 unnecessarily prescribed stimulants due solely to relative immaturity. We're pathologizing normal childhood development. With only 8,300 child psychiatrists versus 54,000 family doctors, most diagnoses fall to undertrained practitioners using subjective observations. Drug companies aggressively oversold benefits. ADHD medication sales exploded from $1.7 billion in 2003 to over $10 billion in 2013. When children first show symptoms, we should tell them they're 3 times more likely to start their own business and will excel at multitasking, not just hand them pills. 9-year-old Cameron received Ritalin after his parents' divorce. He hated the insomnia, teeth grinding, and daily reminder of being defective. The pills kept him compliant, but never addressed underlying issues or explored alternatives like channeling energy into art. In college, he abused and shared his pills for social acceptance. Military service became his salvation. The regimented environment with physical demands perfectly engaged his ADHD brain. Off medication, he thrived. "I felt like a better, cleaner version of myself." College students now trade prescriptions like baseball cards. Emergency room visits from non-medical stimulant use tripled between 2005 and 2010. Medication should be reserved for extreme cases who cannot function otherwise. Even then, pills alone are insufficient. You must train the newly active brain. Side effects like sleeplessness, appetite loss, and mood swings affect nearly half of users. Long-term concerns include stunted growth, mood disorders, and addiction risk. Mark Neeleman takes Adderall only 3 days weekly for tedious tasks, leaving his ADHD brain unrestricted to generate creative business ideas. History's greatest innovators thrived on restlessness. Mozart traveled Europe inventing new musical forms. Leonardo da Vinci mastered art, science, engineering, and anatomy simultaneously. Steve Jobs thought different, transforming technology with dismissed ideas. The explorer gene isn't a flaw, it's evolution's innovation engine. Bobby Chin crashed at desk jobs before offering free work to convince chef Hubert Keller to mentor him. His transformation from misfit student to celebrated chef and TV host demonstrates how ADHD brains flourish in suitable environments. These figures reveal a crucial pattern. Traits we medicalize as disorders often drive human progress. Their restlessness wasn't something to cure, it was the source of their extraordinary contributions. Small-town Texas doctor Mike Watson was brilliant, but struggled academically, unable to sit still, forgetting homework, deriving math formulas from scratch because he couldn't memorize them. For millions of ADHD children, traditional education systems are designed for failure. The problem isn't the children, it's forcing them to sit still in overcrowded classrooms that don't accommodate their learning style. Students who discover personalized techniques thrive. 13-year-old Tatiana read aloud, ran her finger along text, and created story associations. IT entrepreneur Gordon Sanders mastered Mandarin in months by leveraging Chinese characters' visual nature, studying them as pictograms. His non-linear bingo brain finally found its match. Exceptional teachers are pioneering better approaches. Tichelle Harris transformed her classroom using visual presentations, student-led discussions, and Monday conversations to discover students' passions and weave them into lessons. Private schools like Eagle Hill in Massachusetts embrace learning diversity, developing customized curricula through constant adaptation. The results? 96% of Eagle Hill students attend college, with 71% graduating within 6 years, dramatically outperforming the 15 to 20% national average for students with learning differences. Yet, despite evidence that physical activity helps ADHD students focus, 44% of U.S. schools have cut PE, recess, and arts programs. David Neeleman's journey exemplifies ADHD resilience. After bankruptcy, he co-founded Morris Air, which sold for $130 million. Fired from Southwest, he launched WestJet, then created JetBlue and Azul. Research confirms ADHD college students prove more adaptive and resilient than neurotypical peers, likely from lifelong practice handling setbacks. Aaron Smith overcame crushing academic struggles because three educators saw his potential. They shifted his self-perception, igniting resilience that helped him overcome a 1.5 GPA to eventually earn a master's from Columbia. Today, he runs Potential Within Reach, becoming a turnaround person for other ADHD youth. Malcolm Gladwell calls ADHD a strategic disadvantage that teaches essential entrepreneurial skills, delegation, leadership, communication, and problem solving through years of compensation learning. Comedian Howie Mandel embodies this rebound ability. After a disastrous Tonight Show appearance got him banned by Johnny Carson, he simply moved forward, quoting Churchill, "Success is the ability to go from one failure to another with the same vim and vigor." The ADHD mind isn't broken. It's built for innovation, exploration, and resilience. Your restlessness is vision. Your impulsivity is courage. Your distractibility is curiosity. The question isn't whether you can succeed with ADHD, it's whether the world can keep up with you.